One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature. We're at the Miami Book Festival in Miami, Florida, having a great time with all the fans and readers and authors. And we have a wonderful guest next to me right now, Macarena Luz Bianchi. She's a personal empowerment coach, glorious living author, speaker. They also call her the virtual fairy godmother who loves flowers, tea, and travel. She's a spiritual author and speaker on empowerment and wellness. Welcome to the show, Macarena.
Thanks for having me.
We were kind of joking around about the name Macarena is a dance, but also something else. Tell us what that is.
Actually, originally, Macarena is the virgin saint of bullfighting in Seville, Spain. But if you look up the meaning, it actually means mother of God.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, very few people know that part, but a lot of people have heard of Macarena from Seville, La Virgen de la Macarena.
I see, okay. And you like dancing too, I imagine.
Of course I do, but not to that song.
Not to that song. Okay.
A little traumatized.
Yes. Oh, you're traumatized. Why?
Oh, because my name was really unique and, different. And
Before the song?
Before the song. Okay. Yeah, and then this thing, it knew no boundaries. Like, people send me postcards from Africa, and they're like, they know two songs. Okay. The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and your song. I'm like, great.
I guess, if someone calls you the Twist or something else,
could be worse.
Yes, exactly. Now, you're an interesting person because you say you work helping people with glorious living.
That's right.
And you say you deserve to live with wonder, wellness, and wisdom. So that idea of gloriousness, what does that mean? Because I hear it kind of in a spiritual way. How do you define that?
I find that most people are so distracted with the day-to-day, they forget the truth of who they are. And we are glorious. So I think most people walk around thinking there's something wrong with them. So I help them understand that there's actually nothing wrong with them. Everyone's innately glorious, and not just from a spiritual perspective. I'm talking more, there's the energy of that, and that there's nothing we need to do to be worthy. Most people have it backwards. They think it's like their output or what they provide that creates their well-being. And you mentioned wonder, wellness, wisdom. Mm-hmm. What I like about that is it's not only the destination of glorious living, it's also the pathway of how to get there. Mm. And if you think about it, wonder is the most glorious expression of spirit, and it's a way to ground it in this reality. And wellness is the most glorious expression of body, and wisdom is the most glorious expression of mind. Mm. So I find that the three, that's what creates real grounded balance for people to connect to that deeper side of themselves and live more fulfilled lives.
It's interesting. And they did mention that people feel less than worthy.
Yeah.
People, psychology would say low self-esteem or self-efficacy or other terms. Now that may come from childhood, maybe it's genetic, maybe it's environmental. Why do you think that is? Why are people feeling less than worthy? Even though they are talented and beautiful and smart in their own way, what's going on out there in the world? Why are people feeling inferior?
Well, I think I call life a theme park of experience. Okay. Not coming from a bad place, but it's a theme park of experience. So we're here to expand, not because there's anything wrong with us. I think it's more expand into who we truly are. So, it's like you're going to have a theme park. You're going to have maybe some scary rides, right? Some challenging rides.
I was in a recent one, the roller coaster. I'll never do it again. But it was kind of like you thought you were going to die. So is that good or bad, that kind of experience, the roller coaster?
It made you expand. You may not want to do it again,
of course,
but it, it definitely made you more than you were before, right?
I like that experience. A nice little water ride or something relaxing is cool.
I like those too.
But can we say theme park of experience? So what does that mean in a sense? Are we trying to go through certain rides in life?
I use this as a metaphor, again, because my whole thing is reminding people there's nothing wrong with them and they're too glorious to suffer. Mm. So using this, again, my whole thing is lighthearted empowerment.
Yes.
So by using this metaphor of a theme park of experience, people can understand if let's say your life is this park, there's real estate, right? You might have let's say you came here to learn or to expand through forgiveness. Great. What does that mean? You're going to have rides that are all about forgiving people, correct? Mm. So when we think about it in that term, it's a fun, lighthearted, playful way to think about it. If you've had enough of that, you can remodel your theme park. You're not stuck with that. Free will allows you to look at those lessons, expand through them, work with them, and if you've had enough, just remodel your theme park.
I like that. Now, by the way, our producer Reggie's over here, helping us out. Reggie, can you step over here? Yeah. I want you to see if we can help Reggie. Macarena. Now, Reggie is a very nice guy, but he's very shy. He's never had a date before in his life.
I don't believe that.
He's about 28 years old. He's actually autistic, but functional. Now, what's your advice to this young man? Because I think he is a little shy and introverted at times. Reggie, tell us your experience with women.
Well, I want to clarify. I have done the date once before.
What? Okay.
Once. One time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's been holding you back? Is it lack of confidence?
Definitely. That's been a part of it. You know, just being authentic myself, you know, being true to that part of myself, you know, that's my authentic self, you know, feeling like I have to accommodate others at the expense of myself, and I think that wouldn't pick up on that.
So you're in the friend zone, Macarena. Yes. So every woman thinks he's a friend, he's a listener, but no romance. Give him some advice.
Oh, wow. Well, this is, this is more than like a quick thing. However, there's no one in this world like you. And no one is going to be able to play you better than you. So, for example, I used to be a film producer. If you look at your life as a movie, right, you are the director. You're also the leading man, okay? And because we're infinite beings, you can play different roles so you can find your confidence. So, for example, let's say, what do you like to do that's like athletic? Is there anything?
I used to really like running, like just running.
Well, he's actually a nerd or geek, shall we call him.
Yeah, so am I. I relate. So I think the best way to meet people and have that intimacy is to really, first, you have to treat yourself like the precious person that you are. And whatever you think you want from somebody else, you need to find that in yourself. So a lot of people think like you're one half looking for another half. I think that's BS. You are, let's say, a candle. Let's say you're a beam of light, and the other person's a beam of light. And when it works, you come together, you shine brighter. That's the point. It's not about taking something from someone or giving up part of yourself. That's not what it's about. And the best way to share with another person is to truly be yourself. Do whatever you love, and I bet you you're gonna bump into someone that's gonna align with you. But anyway, I have a program, by the way, called The Hot Project, which is 10 steps. I call it the hot meter, where we go through 10 areas of life to develop confidence, like piece by piece, because what you're talking about.
So he's going to be hot. He's going to turn into a hot.
he can feel like that inside, which is really what matters. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, there is so much love in the world. I know the most incredible couples that you can't believe they found each other. So, and again, it's also about understanding who you are. Not everyone is partnership material, you know? Okay. So you need to own up to who you are and what you want out of life.
Now, you give him a lot of great stuff, but let's summarize it in three things, if we can. Now, this is what I heard. First of all, there's only one you. There's only one Reggie, so embrace it. He said something about finding the person that is like yourself, or what was the phrase you used?
Yeah, that aligns with you. So yes. The best thing you can do, like, have you ever met someone who's fascinating?
Yes, I definitely have.
So what fascinating people, if you break that down and you understand what's happening is, they're so in the moment, and they're so into what they're doing that it's magnetic.
Okay, so number one, be in the moment in what you're doing. Now, he's a great producer, he likes politics and technical things. Also, movies, too. Yes. He works in movie theater.
There's a lot of people who are into those things.
Okay, so he should do more of that and like...
Yes,
and
just love it. And yes. It's so natural. I think, like, people say it's so hard to fall in love. No, it's not. It's like we are wired. It's the most natural thing to do to connect with people. Okay. So I think what people need to do is get out of their own way. Uh-huh. So get your mind out of it. Like tell them, okay, sure. Thanks, mind. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to protect me, but I don't need that. I'm here to enjoy myself and be in the moment and play. Okay. If you, the more fun you have, the more magnetic
you become.
I
like that. See, that's a powerful phrase, be in the moment and play. So instead of worrying about meeting a woman and trying to impress her, Reggie, which I think you kind of do, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to win them over from friends to lovers, but it doesn't get to that point. So he's stuck in the friend zone.
Right, but think about that, what you just said. We talked about things like physically, but think of it energetically, okay? You've met people that are not in the moment. So what does that mean? If they're too like intense about it, what energetically people back off. So think about
this
vibe.
Does it happen to you, Reggie?
Vibe.
Are you too intense, ladies?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Give us an example of that.
An example? I've had where I've asked to join a woman, like whatever, like hang out with her or whatever, and she wouldn't say no, but like she kind of like evady, like dodgy about it. Okay. And finally, I'm like, hey, you know, want to maybe hang out another time? And just like no reaction. I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Okay, so Mark, he's getting an evasive woman that don't want to hurt his feelings because they like him as a nice friend.
Yes.
What do you think of that from a woman's perspective?
Oh, boy. That's a whole other show. Again, if you have fun, if you focus on the fun, and I really like radical honesty. Mm. You know what I mean? Sometimes women find that hot. Because you're thinking like, do they like me? Do they like me? They're thinking the same thing. Uh-huh. Oh, how does he like me? You know, so, you know, there's different, this is a very complex topic. However, you know, there's always like when you're getting to know each other, you know, and be honest. I love that you love movies. Speak like that. And you'll know whether they grab on to that. Oh, I love that you love that I love movies. You know what I'm saying? So play with it. Be very patient and flirty. And then when in doubt, say the truth. I feel there's a connection here. What is it feeling to you? Is this like a friendship connection or you think there's a greater possibility? If you have the cojones to be that honest, women find that super hot.
Where do you gotta get some cojones?
He's got them.
Okay, so you're a lot of fun because you're saying he has to enjoy life, be fun in the moment.
Yes.
Also, you said radical honesty.
Yes.
You know, be true to yourself. And you said be patient also. So
those
are three things. So you do work with relationships, I think, right? To help people learn how to have glorious, intimate relationships.
All kinds of stuff, yes. Relationships, careers, you name it. Health, well-being.
I see. So how about for a couple, like, let's say they are not in the honeymoon stage anymore. You know, they're into the fighting stage.
Yeah.
You know, which is common.
Yes.
How do you get them back into the honeymoon stage, if that's possible?
Oh, it is very possible. And I actually love working with people like this. I've been through this stage myself.
Okay.
And what really matters is focusing on what you love about each other.
Right.
And again, being in the moment. Because it happens, you know, autopilot is, most people fall a victim to autopilot, whether it's at work or in your relationship or whatever. So usually couples get into that because they're in autopilot. They think everything's been done, they think everything's been said, and that's because they don't understand that when you're in the moment, everything's a possibility. And that's how the easiest way for couples to fall in love, again, you've got to want to. You've got to really respect the relationship. You have to keep it precious. And again, have fun and reminisce about what you love about each other and focus on that. It's very easy to take the slippery slope, take the bait of everything that's wrong, you know? But everybody can do that. So it really takes a conscious being, someone who really wants to save their relationship and, you know, you've invested all this time, you have this history, why throw in the towel when you can just get deeper intimacy? And the best way to do that is to be kind to each other and, again, be in the moment and not take each other for granted. And it can happen to everybody for a variety of reasons, you know, work, stress, kids, you name it, you know, it can happen. So I think it's once a month I recommend all couples to treat each other like you just met and you want them to be your partner. Okay. I think that's a good...
So treat each other as if you just met them. That's
yes.
A pretty powerful idea. The word autopilot is like a mechanical kind of thing. Like we just had a guy on the show talking about zombies. You know,
yes.
He's a fiction writer, you know, but he said zombie as like a depressed person that's disconnected.
There's a movie
themselves.
About that. Shaun of the Dead. It was one of the first...
It's a funny movie, right?
Yeah. It was one of the first zombie comedies that...
Okay.
Brought back their genre, and yes. It was about that, people in autopilot.
Right, kind of happens to them in daily life. So why do you think that is? Why are people, not just in relationships, in general, like going through the motions? You know, they have coffee, they have sex, they go to work, they come back, they sleep, and then they die, and that's it. So what's going on with that?
I think it's not being present, because, you know, you can have sex and not be present, or you can have sex and be present and then it becomes the most glorious thing. Same thing with the coffee. You can just have your coffee, or you can actually savor the coffee and enjoy the coffee like it's the most glorious coffee you've ever had in your life. So I think because most of us are overachievers or just, you know, in life, we've got so many concerns, our brains are always so directed.
Right.
It's really rare that we allow ourselves time to play or be and enjoy, just be. So I think that constant focus, it's a survival mechanism in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So we have to remember, like, wait a second, I don't have to be. Or usually sometimes something traumatic happens, like you're going through an illness or a move or something, sometimes business, sometimes chaotic things happen, more than the normal stress. And then sometimes we have like a little PTSD, and it's hard to get back to being present if you're not paying attention to your mind. And then usually what happens when something will happen to make you aware that you're in autopilot, like your partner is going to be unhappy or your kids are going to act out or something's going to happen, you know, you're going to trip and fall. Something's going to happen where it's like, oh, wait a second, I'm not paying attention.
No, Marco, it's amazing. You speak pretty quickly. It seems like all this is coming through you.
Yes.
You feel that you're channeling this? Is there a higher power? Because you're talking about something called the wizard, and you also mentioned Akashic field. So,
yes.
So what does that mean, actually, the word Akashic field?
Akasha means prana, the substance from which all life is formed. And they say that they also refer to this as zero point energy, like the unifying theory, the God particle. There's this energy that everyone's connected to. Like, for example, if I tell you to act like a pirate, you know exactly how to do that. If I tell you to act like a CEO, you know how to do that. If I tell you to act like a monkey, you know how to do that. Where does that come from? You know, there's a shared experience that we all share. So Awaken the Wizard Within is a program I created to help people connect to their energetic team. Everybody has a team of, you can call them guides. I did not have a religious upbringing, so I'm pretty neutral about them. But some people say they've got relationships with Buddha or Jesus. That's fantastic. There's ways to cultivate that and actually speak consciously, like in the book Conversations with God, for example. So that's a skill that everybody possesses. It's innate, but a lot of people don't know how to tap into that or listen or feel. And it happened to me when I was like 25 years old, where I didn't believe any of these things. And then I had what's called a direct experience, where I went from feeling, I had feelings of abandonment. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. I thought it was me against the world. I thought I had to do everything myself and I was on my own. Then I had this experience through an Akashic record consultation where
What is Akashic? What does that mean?
Yeah. Prana, substance from which all life is formed.
Oh, okay, so that's the energy.
Energy.
In the Asian philosophy, they also talk about ki or chi energy, which is also from the hara, which is kind of the midpoint,
yes.
The chakras.
Yes, so this includes that and more.
Okay, so this is like an energy source now, and you talk about connecting with the energy source and accessing that. Now, you mentioned something about essential oils or flowers. How do we connect it with that?
Right, so I do something that's called body talk. It's
yes.
A complete healing system that asks the body priority through biofeedback. Like, what is a priority for balancing or communicating? So for example, it could come up pancreas to adrenals, or it could be anything. It could be really down to the cellular level, or it could actually be the energy of these things. So you ask the body what it wants to address, and then sometimes other modalities come into this. So I work a lot with essential oil, sometimes in acupoints to help bring balance, and also flower essences, which is the dew of flowers, and they affect the body and mental states quite profoundly. So again, I believe that everybody's got everything they need inside to heal. However, I love tuning in and playing with these things because sometimes it helps people have a more tangible experience.
Interesting. Because you kind of simplify it. You say you love flowers, tea, and travel.
I do.
So you get it down to three things.
I do.
Because I was in my practice, I always ask people, what do you love? And people have a hard time coming up with something. I say, I like this, I like that. Or do you love ice cream? You're telling me you love flowers, you know, you have a flowery dress on, tea and travel. So are those things that make you happy?
Well, I believe happiness is an inside job, so I'm already happy, but they sure as hell add.
They give you an extra bonus.
They remind me of the connectedness of the abundance of life. They remind me that, you know, we're all one and connected, and diversity is fascinating and interesting. You know, it makes it a lot more fun, you know.
Yes, definitely. Now, you have interesting points here. You talk about the power of intention. So what does that mean? Because we think intention is like, I have an idea, I want to do something. So how do you define it in your spiritual practice?
Well, with doing the Akashic Records, that's a consulting. Intention is very important. So like, let's say you have a question about your career, but most people ask, they make a mistake with how they ask the questions because they're usually coming from a broken or low self-esteem place. For example, the question, should I go to Tahiti, is one I like to use. Instead of saying that, because should implies that there's a wrong, which there really isn't. So instead, the intention would be, I want to have a glorious life. I want glorious living. I want to connect and I want to feel in love everywhere I go. What are the steps? Is Tahiti in alignment with this at this time?
Right.
See, that's a question that takes into account responsibility for your power instead of giving it away through languaging.
I like that. That's very interesting. So asking, basically making a statement to the universe instead of asking a question out of, you know, lack or fear.
Exactly.
So, but that's not easy for people to do, to claim your space of life. You know, people...
It takes practice.
Kind of... They withdraw from taking a stand. You're telling Reggie to say to someone, hey, this is what I love to do, you love it too. You know, that's not easy to do for an introvert, shy person.
Sure.
So how do you teach people to do that? Let's say they're insecure in certain areas of life, and you want to get them to that stage where they can start to claim, you know, like you said, their birthright. You know, I say like you're a king or queen by birthright.
Yes.
To start to claim that, how do we get them to that point?
I think practice and play is the way to do it. Because if you think about it, a friend of mine just had a baby, and she told me the most amazing story. She wanted to take her baby to a music class, and it took about 6 sessions for the baby to stop screaming and hating it. Most people would have given up on the first one. Oh, she doesn't like it, forget it. But then you deprive the child of a lifetime of loving music and understanding this language, love language, so early on. So anyway, so it takes patience. You know, you can't expect, you know, if you're afraid of heights, you can expect to like just jump out of an airplane. It's going to take, you know, you got to work up to that. So if you can figure out how to have fun with it and look at what you think is going to hurt you in the process, again, we shine the light on it. But again, these are processes, you know, and not everybody likes to jump off the deep end.
What do you mean by hurt you? You mean your fear that you'll be hurt?
Exactly. Like, so for some, if someone's afraid of heights, it's because they think they're going to die,
right,
usually.
Right.
You know, that's like a real obvious one.
They have like obsessive compulsive disorder when they think the germs are going to kill them.
Yes.
So they have to wash their hands 100 times a day.
Yes.
Now that may be a little, how do you deal with that? Do you ever get like serious people in there, in your thing?
That, I've met people like this.
Right, they have to wash their hands. So they're afraid that they will die from the germs.
Exactly.
But if you tell them you're not going to die...
They don't believe you.
Yeah,
they have to feel it. They have to have an experience.
Yes.
Like, so I think that's, again, I like the holistic approach. Most people have a lot of common sense, so they're going to do what makes physical common sense. But a lot of times, and then there's the emotional. So you have to handle it emotionally, you have to handle it mentally, you have to handle it physically, but then you have to handle this energetically. So in a case like that, I would look through these energy balances to see what's the cause of this. And usually it's stuff like that is like a past life trauma. And usually past life trauma has to do with lack of forgiveness. So, you know, there's certain patterns that come up with these things.
Okay, so it's a complicated issue. But I like what you said, practice and play. Because practicing is discipline. You know, it's a hard work. But sometimes you get tired of it. You know, like if you're working out every day, there's what we call a cheat day.
Sure.
You heard that, right? Where you can have some sweets. But you kind of relax a little bit and, you know, kind of get back into the flow. Now, the other thing you talk about is allowing instead of fighting. You talk about aligning with your glorious nature. So a lot of people fight, you know, like Reggie was saying, he tries to call the girl and she's interested, and you know, vice versa. So how do we start doing that alignment stuff instead of fighting for what we want? Don't give you the good ones, right? It's only 5 o'clock here. time for dinner, right?
Well, I think this is why people need help. This is why people need coaches. You know what
yes,
I mean? Because
right.
Again, we relate to each other because we're our own blind spot. So this is why people need help or buddies. No. To help each other out and say, hey, you know, so if he doesn't work with a professional like me, he can work with a friend and say, hey, you know, let's talk about what we think our shortcomings are and support each other by pointing them out and gently helping us face them. So, you know, we need help. You know, you can deny everything on your own, but the moment, like, let's say you move in with somebody, you're gonna see all your stuff reflected back
right.
at you.
There will be a little tip you can give a person like Reggie or someone else that is fighting for something but not aligning. So in other words, they're expending excess energy. It could be like getting a new job. I can't get the new job I want, the career.
Again, yeah. We're talking about energy.
Yes.
Because again, they've got the action down.
Right.
But the intention sounds like it's coming from lack.
Or fear.
Or fear, or a combination of that. So yeah. I would say take a moment and stop doing everything.
Right.
And just measure your vibe. You know, like a vibe meter. Uh-huh. What am I feeling? Does this feel good? Does this feel bad? I feel too intense. I feel anxious. People feel everything you're feeling, other people are going to feel it. And if you put yourself in their place, do you want to be like, hey, baby, to somebody that's like freaking out anxious? Of course not. That energy is not conducive. So I would take an energy inventory and just focus on your vibe instead of action oriented. Because sometimes, like you said, we're too action oriented,
right.
But we're not. You know, the foundation we're coming from is not clear.
I like that. So you're very energy focused in terms of people's connections with others and themselves. And you also have a kind of a nice phrase. You say, to be a lighthouse, centered and strong, you can be around what we call tugboats or pushing and pulling.
That's right.
But you're the light. And we talk about that at Love University is to be like the sun.
Nice.
You know, the sun shines energy on everybody, you know, the short, the tall, you know, the whatever it is. But the sun doesn't get mad if people don't respond to it. Some people don't like the sun. They cover up. Some people love the sun. So the idea, if you keep shining like the sun, right, eventually you will have a connection with life, you know. So that's our idea.
We're totally in alignment.
So you're the same way, right? So you're the lighthouse.
I talk about the lighthouse because I get a lot of friends who are clients who are frustrated.
Yes.
Oh, so-and-so is having this problem, and I told them to take this class or to do this or to do that, and they don't listen. And it's like, okay, all you can do, you know, the lighthouse is there to shine the light, and if they want to come into the harbor, they can. If they want to sail away, it's totally fine, you know.
Right.
Like, you can show the menu, you don't force anybody to order because it doesn't work.
I like that. Show them the menu, right? If it's if it's tasty, delicious, people
when they're
will buy.
And it's also about being ready.
If they're hungry.
That's right. They might not be hungry, or
you
know,
like
there's
food.
So many. You know, there's never one reason for things, and you've got to trust that everybody has a really good, really good reasons for behaving the way they behave. So I find we have to have a lot of patience with ourselves and with each other and understand, okay, so there's nothing wrong with you, yet you want to go here. Okay, great. It's like, you know, it's like going on a road trip. You know, if whether you want to go to Las Vegas or Chicago, that has nothing to do with you as a person, whether you're right or wrong or good or bad, you know.
Macarena, one thing I'm interested in is, are you insult-proof? If you were being cursed at right now, how would you take it? Now, you told me you went to the Chicago hot dog place where they actually curse you out, like the customers. It's kind of a funny little thing, right?
It was hilarious.
Give me the blanky blank hot dog. But how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, were you mad
I'm
at that?
I'm pretty good.
When they're cursing at you, were you mad at
that? No, not at all, not at all. You know, with age, you know, and experience, I realized that when people are freaking out, you know, I get that it's 99% not about me, you know, 99.9%. But, you know, of course, like, we're relating to each other. So in relationship, of course, I take 50% responsibility for whatever's happening, you know, in friendships and relationships. But when I was younger, I was like a really good debater. I would,
really?
I could make people cry. I was,
wow.
Before I knew better.
Did you also have a body mat? Were you a profanity person? A little bit?
No. I could just destroy them
wow.
with language.
Super logical.
Yes. And when I worked the door at nightclubs, that was a lot of fun. I used to have like an audience that would watch as I would destroy people, but it was not nice.
Wow.
And then later on in life, it'd be like...
So you say like, I hit that shirt, it looks like a zebra or something? Or what would you say?
Yeah, well, I would test them because, you know, when you're working the door at a nightclub, this is a whole other psychology thing.
Don't have Reggie. Reggie's already
embarrassed. That's actually a really cool shirt, by the way. You know, when you're managing the energy of the place.
Right.
So in back in those days in South Beach, it was very mixed, gay and straight. It was awesome back then.
So you would determine who gets in? Or
yes.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, like it fits like 300 people, and there's like 1,000 people outside,
and
they all think they're you know, VIP. So anyway, it was a fascinating power thing.
They might curse you out of time, right? If you don't.
It never happened.
Really?
Yeah. And
why not? Were you just too tough on them?
You know, I was very clever, so it was a good stage for that. But now, of course, I know better. I would never say those things I said and stuff. So later on, after that, I would have what I would call, I would love giving people the psycho epiphany. Even though I know I could tear someone down with language, mm-hmm. what I enjoyed even better is making them realize they're acting crazy.
Ah.
I'll give you an example. Once during the Art Deco Festival, there was this guy selling these old style telephones, and I had brought one from Argentina, but the plug is wrong because it's completely different. So anyway, so I go to this guy and I was like, "Hi, excuse me, I have one of these. Could you fix it?" The guy yells at me, "I only sell phones!" like that.
Okay.
My sister was like, "Oh my God, this poor guy does not know who he's messing with." And I was like, "No, it's okay. I connected with him. I opened my heart. And I looked into his eyes and I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to waste your time." And then he totally did this. I'm a jerk, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, he just had the psycho epiphany. Mission accomplished. So I find that when people are acting out, it's usually not about you, it's about them. And, you know, we've all had tragedy in our life. We can't assume why someone is upset. Mm-hmm. And I find that sparring with them is usually not the way to accomplish anything. So love and kindness seems to rule.
But when you're younger, you wanted the ego thrill of the victory verbally.
Oh yeah, like
a lawyer loves that,
of
right?
Of course.
You're the.
thank God. Before. I would have become a shark had I gone to law school instead of film school.
Make a lot more money. No? but the other thing is, you said you give them compassion and empathy to the people that are angry at you, right? You know, and also you hold the space for them to have peace and calmness.
Yeah.
And what I say is you extend the loving energy without expectation.
That's right.
But it's not easy to do, though, when people are yelling at you or negative to you. So do you detach yourself for the moment? I mean, you might feel a little bit of anger, perhaps, right? You don't anymore?
No, it's very rare now.
I mean, you can be, but if you're aware of the anger, that's okay. Like, you kind of can feel it, but you don't have to respond.
Yeah, injustice gets me angry, but it's rare that people, you know, because I understand enough about behavior where it's like, oh, I see what's happening. Oh, this isn't about, most of the time it's not, you know, it usually is not
you
about what's happening. Like, even, this is something I talk about with my clients a lot and my students, like, things are not what they seem. So that, like, career is not about, like, let's say if someone makes watches and sells watches, that's not what it's about. Again, the theme park of experience.
Right.
That provides a space for the individual to expand. You know, it's the setting. It's the set, like in a movie.
Right.
So it's usually not about the thing. So I've been in car accidents and I knew, okay, it's not about the car accident. This is about something else, you know, allowing me to see how people react in crisis, how I react in crisis, finishing unfinished business with people before moving, all kinds of stuff.
So you're kind of a higher level of thought elevation in some ways, yourself, evolutionary-wise.
I guess.
You see it different, you know. Like,
yes.
In other words, you don't react, but you kind of see the big picture.
Yeah.
So that's a nice place to get to eventually. And you want to help people do that, right? A lot of what your work is helping people get to the higher levels of who they are. You call it the wizard or glorious living. They're actually beautiful terms.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of energy you have here. I can see that. You're channeling it. It's coming from something, I think. Maybe from a higher source.
It is. I think I've learned how to get out of the way.
Ah, good point. That's a powerful phrase.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to control everything, you kind of like...
Which I used to. I was very heady.
Control
recovering control freak. When I thought it was me against the world, you better believe I was all about information. I thought I needed to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think like that anymore, so it's way more fun.
What was your, was it epiphany or whatever? What was that turning point?
It started with that Akashic record consultation where when she opened my records, I felt I had what's called a direct experience where I felt that I was not alone. Whereas before, I really felt like it's me against the world. You know, if I need to do anything, I have to do it myself. I have to save the world, all this stuff I thought as a young person. And when this happened, it was like, whoa, not only am I not alone, nobody is. Everybody has a team of energetic assistants helping them out. And but again, nothing can happen without our permission. We have to ask. So we have to be involved in our energetic life more consciously.
Very beautiful. Mercury, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Where can people hear more about you? Do you have any books, courses, things
like
that?
Yes. Please go to my website. It's MacarenaLuzBianchi.com. MacarenaLuzBianchi. I also have some Facebook groups. I have Awaken the Wizard Within, which is welcome to anybody with metaphysical interests, as well as Wonder Women Confidence, which is specifically about women's self-esteem and relationships. I've got courses, and I've got an arsenal of books coming out in the near future, all kinds of stuff.
That's incredible. Well, we'd love to have you on again, maybe collaborate with you when you get out to L.A. You ever come out traveling much?
I love L.A. I went to grad school there.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So, you know, we can see you out there.
Yeah.
We also put up some conferences and seminars. So, yeah, because you're really inspiring a lot of people.
Thank you.
You really care about people. I can see that, you know, inside you. So it's wonderful to have you on board, and we'll see you next time. This is Dr. Alex Avila, Love University. Thank you very much, Macarena.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Okay, thanks. So, Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveUPodcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads, and this is Dr. Alex Avila.